I want to tell the story of Jojo. He was born in Africa. When he was about 2 years old, his mother was shot, which is how you catch young chimpanzees in the wild. And he was shipped to North America, where for about 15 years, he lived by himself in a small, old-fashioned cage with a cement floor and iron bars. And then a new zoo director decided to build a large enclosure, the biggest in North America. He built the enclosure. It was surrounded by a moat filled with water because chimpanzees don't swim. They got 19 other chimpanzees, and then gradually they introduced them to each other, which is always a slow business. But finally it was done, and they were released into the enclosure. It was fine for a bit, and then one of the new young males challenged the senior male. Well, the senior male was Jojo, and he'd lived alone all these years. He didn't know anything about chimp behavior. He hadn't had an opportunity to learn. So he was terrified by this young male swaggering and bristling in front of him, and he ran into the water. He didn't know anything about water except it's something you drink in a cup. And he was so frightened that he managed to climb over the railing that had been built to stop the chimps drowning in the deep water beyond. 3 times he came up gasping for air, and then he was gone. On the far shore of the moat was a little group of people, and there was a keeper there who knew that Jojo could be dangerous, that he weighed 130 pounds. And there was a man there who visits the zoo just one day a year with his family, his wife and his 3 little girls. And he jumped in, even though the keeper grabbed hold of him and told him he would be killed. He had to swim under the water, feeling with his hands until he touched Jojo's inert body, somehow got this 130-pound dead weight over his shoulder, somehow got back over that barrier. And he could feel tiny movements. He knew that Jojo wasn't quite dead. He pushed him up onto the bank of the enclosure and turned to rejoin his slightly hysterical family. And at that point, there was a woman and she was taking a video film. She doesn't even remember taking it. So you can hear what happened next. The people on the bank start suddenly screaming really loudly for Rick to get back, that he's in great danger, because from their higher vantage point, they can see 3 of the big males, hair bristling, coming down to see what all this commotion's about. And at the same time, Jojo is sliding back into the water because the bank is too steep. And this piece of video is all over the place, but amazingly it steadies on Rick as he stands there with his hand on the barrier. And you see him looking up at his wife and his 3 little girls. And you see him looking up towards where these 3 male chimps are coming. And then you see him looking down at Jojo, who's just disappearing under the water. And for a moment, Rick is motionless. And then he went back. And again, he pushed Jojo up on the bank. And this time he stayed there in spite of everybody yelling at him. And Jojo is making very feeble efforts to catch on to a piece of tough grass. And just in time, he manages to pull himself up to where the ground is more level. And just in time, Rick gets back across that barrier. And that evening, that little piece of film was flashed across North America. And the then director of the Jane Goodall Institute saw it and he called up Rick. He said, "Mr. Swope, that was a very brave thing you did. You must have known it was dangerous. Everybody was telling you. What made you do it?" And Rick said, "Well, you see, I happened to look into his eyes and it was like looking into the eyes of a man. And the message was, won't anybody help me?" And that's the message that I've seen in the eyes of chimps staring out from the 5-foot by 5-foot laboratory prisons. I've seen it in the eyes of the little chimp infants sold in the African markets beside the dead bodies of their mothers. I've seen it looking out from the eyes of chimps cruelly trained for the circus. And I've seen it in the eyes of so many animals around the world and in the eyes of little children whose parents have been killed in ethnic violence or who are caught up in gang fighting with nowhere to go. And once you've seen that look and felt it in your heart, you have to jump in and try to help. And I think my greatest reason for hope in the future is that as I travel 300 days a year around the world, more and more and more people are seeing that look, that appeal for help, feeling it in their hearts, and doing what they can to help.